Okay, Exodus 19. In the third month, after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And when they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord also said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day, and for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Excuse me. And you shall set bounds for your people all around, saying, Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people. And they washed their garments and said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. It came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, Go down, warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou didst warn us, saying, Set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, Go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he breaks forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. Amen. So this continues from yesterday when he was, remember Jethro, his father-in-law, gave him a God plan to really orchestrate the giving of the law, the ordinance of God, what God is wanting to do, instead of Moses doing it all by himself. And so finally, this is getting near around Pentecost, which is 50 days now after they have left Egypt. And so they come, and God now wants to come and visit his people, which is really a very interesting a note, in that when we think about Pentecost, even now, especially Acts 2, is literally when God came to visit his people. And so we see the beginnings of this narrative start here. And so he goes up to the mountain of God, and the Lord calls them, and this becomes the very special nature of the people of Israel. This is what separates them from everybody else. And he says, from verse 4, he says, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. First and foremost, this will be a group of people that actually belong to him, that they come from him and him alone. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. Probably a better translation of own possession is probably what they call a special treasure. In other words, he was saying that you will be such a special treasure. You know, think of it. If you own something that is so precious to you. It's something that is incredibly meaningful to you. That's what the people of Israel are to God. You will be my special possession, my special treasure among all the people, and for the earth is mine. And so this is the chosen nature of the people of Israel. You should be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And so unlike a lot of other cultures and nations in this time, it wasn't just one group of priests, or it wasn't a special class of people, even though they will soon initiate this or institute this among the Levites. But it was more for carrying out the offerings than anything else. But he says, all of you, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In other words, every single one of the people of Israel are going to minister to God. It's not going to be a select group of people. Every single person is going to be minister unto the Lord. Obviously, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, will really take this and express really the duty of the kingdom, or the privilege, I would say probably better, of the people of the kingdom of God, and that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart for God himself. And so we see, I'm not saying necessarily a transfer from Israel to the church, but you see the call of the church that every one of us are priests. And the apostles will also talk about the priesthood of all believers. In other words, every single one of us, we have the incredible ability and privilege that we get to minister to the Lord. Even today, are you leading Jeff today? I guess Janella is leading worship today. She is going to be offering up, and we can step into the role of being a priest by offering up our worship to God. By offering up our offerings to the Lord, every single person involved in their worship of God. And we see this special calling that Israel has. And then Moses calls the elders. And so now, remember, those broken down the chapter before, and calls the elders together and shares what God has put on his heart. And this is what the Lord speaks to Moses during this time. And he says that he's going to come down in a thick cloud. And so verse 9, and so behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words of the people of the Lord and says, go to the people, consecrate them today, tomorrow, and let them wash their garments. In other words, they had to be totally clean to come before God. And this is something of a really a major theme that actually weaves throughout the whole of the scriptures, and is simply this: you individually, as a people in of yourself, you are just not good enough for God. You are not holy enough. You're not clean enough. In other words, there's a lot of things that need to take place even for God to come even near you with his presence. In of yourself, you can't do it. In of yourself, you are full of sin, you are full of wrong attitudes, you are full of so much evil and whatnot, and so you can't get even near God. And so the way they did it here in the Old Testament is so Moses is going to go up to the Mount of God, Mount Sinai, and there's going to be this flat plain, and some commentators say that this plain was basically about 2 miles long, a few square miles, and sandy, and this would be the place where all of Israel gathers. It's talking about 2 million-plus people. They gather right at the mount, and what they did is they set up partitions on the mount. They set up these, you can't say walls, because there really is no description of what was made out of, but there was some covering or some partition that separated people from God himself. And the motif that God comes is thunder, lightning, thick cloud, fire, and all these things. And it was this idea of beware. You know, you can't come near God. You're not good enough to come near the presence of God, because if you come near God, God is going to kill you. And I mean, that's a stark reality of this whole thing. And so they set up these partitions that separate God from the people. And it wasn't so much that God didn't want to be near people. He wanted to draw near people, but it was the sin of his people that prevented them from drawing near to God. And so he tells them, you need to have these 3 days, you need to consecrate yourself, you need to wash all your garments, you know, this whole idea of ritual cleansing. You can't have intercourse with your wife. You need to be totally clean, totally cleansed. And on the third day, then the Lord may, you may be able to draw near as Moses does. And so even the story is even crazier. So Moses, so these guys do it 3 days. They do everything they need to do. They wash themselves. They cleanse themselves. You know, they take care of business. They don't get near their women. They come now to the base of Mount Sinai, and they're all gathered there. These lattices are placed up. And then the next thing you know, Moses is on his way to receive the command of God. And as he's on his way, so God says, okay, Moses, come up. As he's on his way, God says, go back down. Because the people are starting to peer through the divider, through the barrier, to try to get a glimpse of this God. I mean, they could get a sense, they can hear him. I mean, the thunder and lightning, there's a sense they could hear him, but they can't see him. And so there's, it's kind of this amazing picture that's coming, and you know they they're seeing thunder flashes, and so the people are very, very curious, but they are unable to draw near, and we look at something like this and we say, wow, how bleak, you know, how sad, how demoralizing, how all these things, but really all this stuff is really a precursor to the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus literally takes off the barrier. In the New Testament context of this barrier, really is the temple curtain. And when Jesus says, it is finished, in a telestai, the curtain tears. But if you remember the passage in Luke, very clearly it tears from top to bottom. In other words, only God tears this thing. We see passages all through the scriptures about this interlude of God coming in. We see something like a Song of Solomon. We see that he says, you know, you have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes. The couple chapters before, it talks about this lattice that's there, and the lover is on the other side. And so we you know, kind of think about this barrier that's there. And the picture is when the lover turns and looks and gazes through the lattice, it makes the Lord's heart so glad. And it's this love relationship that's operating. And so we see Old Testament, New Testament, you know, this picture of God interjecting himself, you know, or in some ways removing the barriers, and so that the people of God can be with God. And I mean, all throughout, it's one of these things. I'll share something that I thought was really quite insightful. We a few months ago, we went to go hear Tim Keller speak, and he gave this really beautiful picture. And if you notice here in Exodus 19, the fire, man, they should be very, very careful and aware of the fire. Don't go near the fire, meaning God in this case. You know, the burning bush happening, the fire of God comes with Moses, and God tells Moses, take your shoes off, man, right? You're unworthy to stand in this place. This is holy ground. He is given, in a sense, a special dispensation to come in and see the fire of God operating. And then we see here that the fire of God comes, but you're not able to come near it. You know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, Romans 3:23, and then Romans 6:23 basically, you know, says the same thing. And so we see that this whole idea that we are not worthy enough to come near. Don't get near the fire. Don't get near the presence of God, because you're going to die. I mean, this is the word. God tells Moses, go back down, because I'm about to kill these people because they're disobeying and they're trying to look through the barrier. And they're not holy enough to do that. And so we see this motif of fire all throughout. This is the presence of God. Don't get near fire. This is going to be bad for you, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then at Pentecost, remember, we're now going from this Pentecost to the Pentecost of Acts 2. And what happens? Now, tongues of fire sit on believers. where before, so this is pre-resurrection, pre-Christ dying for our sins, you can't get near God. You're unholy. There's no way that you can even get around God's presence. There'll always be some kind of barrier, and you'll never step into the fullness of God because of your sins. Now Jesus dies on the cross for our sins. He's resurrected. He joins the Father. God sends the Spirit. And how does the Spirit manifest on believers now? As tongues. They rest on people as tongues of fire. That very thing that was so evil, evil is a bad word. That very thing that was so holy, so beyond our abilities, so dangerous. God is so dangerous. Don't get near him. It'll be troublesome for you. You might die. You might be like Uzzah, in the first Samuel that touches the ark and just dies instantly on the spot. They open the ark of the covenant. 52,000 people die, or 50,070 die right on the spot. And so there's this fear, this trepidation that runs through the people of God. They can't get near God. They try to get near, and they die, they perish. Bad things happen to them. And then the new covenant, God comes on the form of fire on individuals, and the fire doesn't hurt them. Where it was something that was deadly all throughout the Old Testament leading up to Acts 2, now this fire is pleasant. This fire rests on individuals, and this fire empowers them, and the barrier is totally gone, right? That we're not good enough. All of a sudden, the reality is we still are not good enough, but Jesus is plenty good enough for us. And so, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we may attain the righteousness of God through him. And so, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, all of a sudden, we can step into his holiness. Where because of our sin, we fall short of the glory of God. Now, we're able to step into his glory. And then the fullness of that will happen when we have our own resurrection. And it's this amazing thing that's at work. And so the Lord is setting the groundwork because the people, they're not holy. We're going to go through the rest of the Old Testament, and it's going to be so clear how unholy these people are. And the reality, every single one of us, we all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. And it's our sin. Romans 6:23, for we all sin. Right? And as a result, the wage of sin, it says, is death. And so we've all gone through a death because of our sin. That's why we can't get near to the Lord. But again, this is not meant to be a discouraging devotional, because really it's about Jesus. And because of the sacrifice, because of the cross, we're able to enter into that holy place. And it's really all because of Jesus. And this is... this is the precursor, really, that will point later on, again, to the Acts 2, Pentecost, the first Pentecost leading to the last Pentecost. And we see that God comes, and his desire all along has been to be with his people. It's one thing about Jesus, and out of all the names of the Lord, he is the door, he is the way, the truth, the life, he is the bread, and all these things. He's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our Commander-in-Chief. If you've done EG, right, there's like 500 names for the Lord through the Scriptures. But for me, the name that I love the most, and is personally to me, is the most meaningful to me, is the word Emmanuel. In other words, literally translated, the God who is with us. Like I shared, I love the name so much that we actually named our second daughter Emma, which we drew from the French Emmanuel. And so it's just this beautiful picture of God being with us. And that's really all God ever wanted. And he goes through elaborate means in certain way. God wants to be with us. What prevents us from being with God is our sin. We cannot take care of our sin on our own. And so he makes a provision by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. And if we believe in him, I mean, not only will we have everlasting life, which is really the fullness of the presence of God for all eternity, but we also get to draw near to God now. You know, Acts, I think, 4:12 says, repent and return so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And it's this idea that if we turn to Christ and we repent of our sins, right, we can enter into the presence of God. And it's just this amazing truth that operates in our life. So let's close our eyes today. Get Janella to come up. With a simple question today, is there anything in your life right now that is separating you from God? And I'll say better than this. Is there anything in your life that you are perceiving is separating you from God? Because the reality is, if you're a believer, if you're a born-again Christian, and you gave your life to the Lord, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Read Romans 8. Incredible passage. Neither death nor life, nor things come, nor things present, nor things past, nor angels, nor demons. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so maybe the enemy is playing a war game with you. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. Maybe he's convicting you of something. Repent, return, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God's heart, he is Emmanuel. He wants you to be connected with him. He wants you to experience intimacy. He wants you to draw near. James tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's his heart. He wants to be with you. Don't let any perceived thing, I use the word perceived because if you're in Christ, nothing separates you from God. You're just perceiving that something is. Whatever the case may be, right, the antidote is to turn to Christ and to repent. Let's meditate on that as we sing.
I want my life to be
Let's go before the Lord, huh? Let's thank Him for getting rid of all the barriers, getting rid of the partitions through Jesus Christ. And if we need to, let's repent and return, that you may experience His presence evermore. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray over our community that are battling illness, a particular cancer. Let's pray for those that are going through chemo and radiation therapy and people that are recovering from surgery. Let's ask God's hand upon their lives, their family. Let's pray for God's healing over their hearts. Let's pray for our community that is ill, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray that the Lord would reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus this morning, and let's pray for China. Let's bless our oh, it's different. Okay, it's Thursday. Let's pray for North Asia. Let's pray for North Korea. Pray for Chris and our community, his community there. Pray for South Korea, and maybe the Lord will have us plant a church in the future. Pray for Japan, Pastor Mitsunobu in Kobe, and also for Pastor Sophia, who's making plans to go there soon. And so let's just cover these countries and ask for Holy Spirit to move and guide and lead and just bring revival to these places. Let's pray for our IP well in Cascade. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers, as they set out to minister to God's people. Particularly, let's pray for Matt and Rachel and Leanne, and also for Ricky as they lead these ministries. Pray for incredible healing that happened all throughout. Let's lift up our men's and women's ministries, and let's ask God to really bless the leaders and the men and women that come out. They should be starting to plan for their retreat this fall fairly soon, and so pray for God's provision of speakers and venues and all that. Let's pray for Tyler and Sandro and for Bonnie and Rainey in the women's ministries. Let's just ask the Lord to bless, and especially the prayer meetings that are going on bi-monthly. Let's pray for it's the people of God to come together to meet with one another and with the Lord. Let's pray for our class tonight. I heard last night was wonderful. Let's pray for Matthew Pine as he leads teaching on the end times. Pray, I think there's about 20 people signed up tonight. Let's pray for all of them to make it on time, to enjoy the fellowship. And but really, there'll be a real anointing over the teaching. Matthew's asked us to pray for him particularly, as he's been battling a lot of warfare these days. And so let's just lift up Matthew, let's lift up the class time tonight, and the people are participating. And let's pray for SP Lights Outreach tonight. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to use our ladies. And there'll be a real divine connections and real courage to share their faith with one another. Let's just lift up Outreach tonight. Lord, we acknowledge, God, the simple reality, Lord, is that we'll never be good enough for you, God, that we'll never be holy enough. But Lord, we thank you, God, that even in that, Lord, that you make a provision through your Son, Jesus, Lord, that he comes and that he makes us good enough, Lord. He makes us holy, God, because of our simple trust and faith in him and in what he's done. And so we want to carry that deep in our hearts, God, into everything that we do. And that you, on top of that, God, would just pour grace upon us, Lord. But what we don't deserve, God. And we thank you for that grace. Help us, God, to this morning, this day, to live a grace-filled day in your presence, Lord. We bless you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you tomorrow when we get to the Ten Commandments.